council and the schools. The relationships that I get to just walk into, I feel extremely privileged and very excited about our future, and getting to be a part of that is humbling. And again, it's this team back here, the ladies and gentlemen in the back, that, like I say, I'm handed all the resources needed to be successful, and I just appreciate everything that you've all done, and the citizens. You know, we can't police this town of, you know, almost 19,000, but just that, you know, with our small group that work at the CUNA Police Department, we need all the citizens, and that's something I'm very passionate about, is that without the support of our community, we don't have much, and that's something they've worked very hard to get to the level where it is. We have an amazing amount of trust in the community, and there's been a lot of work, and so my goal is to just continue that, and so I just appreciate how we do work as a team, and I just can't wait to get to know each of you individually and dive in. It's been a few months that I've known that this is a potential opportunity, and I've been so excited, and I'm very happy to start tomorrow morning. I'm moving my office in, and I just can't wait. It's been a long time coming, and again, appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Chief McDaniel. Welcome aboard. We appreciate it. Justin has made many great comments about you, and I'm very comfortable with the fact that you're the one that's taken his place. So,
thank you.
I appreciate that very much. And with that said, Justin, if you'll come back up, I can't say enough about the leadership that you have shown here in our community. We've had some tragic incidents that happened in the first part of this year that became very common there for a while and are not something that we're used to in this city. Your leadership and the way that your officers handled those situations, keeping the public safe, there's no way to express enough thanks for that. So, but I do have a parting gift.
So you get your standard certificate of appreciation, right?
Of course. Of course, thank you.
But Chris Engel knows about the collection that you have. So it was actually her idea to come up with this as a parting gift for you. It is an emblem of the city of CUNA.
Thanks, Chief. The next item that we have on the agenda is discussion on Air Quality Board. This is actually being presented by Kent Goldthorpe. He is the interim director of the Air Quality Board. Kent, would you come forward, please?
Councilman, Mayor, I am really enjoying this meeting so far. I enjoy CUNA a lot more than I enjoy going to Boise meetings, and you can imagine why. I'd like to thank you, first of all, for the courtesy of the time that you've allowed me this evening. I know how valuable your time is, so I'm going to get right to it. One of the two hats that I wear, at least for now, is that of the interim director of the Air Quality Board. When I was hired to do this, I stepped down as the chairman of their board, and I'd been on the board for 2 years at that time. As the interim director, I was given a number of tasks to accomplish. Direction was given to me a couple of weeks ago by the Ada County Commission to visit with you on the subject that I'll introduce now. The Air Quality Board would like to, and that's primarily me, as well as other board members, would like to initiate discussion of exactly how it might be possible or not for the city of CUNA to enter into the joint powers agreement currently in force between the other cities in Ada County, the county itself, and ACHD concerning the board that operates the Ada County emission testing program. Currently, as you're aware, CUNA participates in the Canyon County program. I'm familiar with most of the reasons for that participation because of a quick study of history that I've done in the last few months. Those reasons from the past seem to no longer exist from what I can see, at least insofar as there being anything that can be done about them. I know why you weren't a party to the Joint Powers Agreement initially, and I would have been exactly of the same mind. None of us wanted to initially participate in mandatory, compulsory, and oftentimes punitive emission testing program, but we were forced into it one way or the other. One of my biggest tasks at Air Quality Board is to streamline operations and create efficiencies that are not currently in place. One of our staff takes time each month to go through every single record that we receive from ITD once we separate the 83634 vehicles out every month. She separates the addresses that are within the CUNA city boundaries from the ones that are not and has to do that manually. Fortunately, she's been at it for so long, she's really good at it, and only takes her a little more than one day. And this is so that nobody in or outside of CUNA gets two notices from two different entities and causes confusion and other things. There may be some other advantage to becoming part of the Ada County program. It appears that many of your citizens have already figured that out, as we in Ada County do a huge percentage of the testing of the vehicles within CUNA City. Our station owners, as well as my staff, are given a number of reasons why your residents prefer our program, and those reasons may or may not impact your decision to consider joining our program as things go on. My purpose tonight is just to open a dialogue, and the end goal possibly being of this body, not tonight, but this body sometime passing a resolution to adopt the Ada County Joint Powers Agreement, adopt a clean air ordinance similar to what Ada County or some of the other cities here in the county have, and adopt the second joint powers agreement that is directly with the Department of Environmental Quality. After that, the city of CUNA would officially be a part of the AQB, would still have the freedom to choose at any test station in either county for their emissions testing. And I will be happy, if you wish me to go further with this when I'm done, to make sure that every one of you has a copy of all three of those two joint powers agreements and the ordinance. And Gordon, you too, because I know you'll be reviewing things. I would entertain some questions that you might have about the programs. And if you don't have any but would like me to suggest a few, I'd be more than happy to.
Okay.
Any questions?
Does anybody have any questions for Kent? I know this is kind of a off the cuff kind of discussion here. One thing I can say is that as I began to research this, there wasn't a lot of information within the city on this because when this action was taken, it was actually done legislatively, and so the city didn't have a lot of record on this type of thing. So our attorney did some researching, and I made some calls to the DEQ to find out what kind of history I could find on it, and it's kind of a complicated thing we're going to have to sort through some issues on and figure out. But certainly any other information that you want to provide, and then copies of those agreements would be much appreciated for council to look at.
You bet. Any specific questions?
Whatever you wanted to suggest will be fine.
Well, one is that the costs are the same. And in the Air Quality Board plan, our plan is one that fosters free enterprise and the private sector solution. our stations pay us a certificate fee of $3.50. And the total charges for their testing goes anywhere from $8.88 up to the state maximum, allowed maximum of $20. But several charge $10 or less. In the Canyon County program, the station owners receive $3 of the $11 that's charged. My opinion is that it's a little more of a state program, a government program, instead of one that fosters the private sector, and something that I think seriously about myself. Your program offers an ag exemption. I don't know, but I could find out probably how many truly agricultural vehicles there are within the CUNA city limits, because we can exempt them, but it won't be F-350 that's driven all over the valley and occasionally is used on the farm. Those won't be able to be exempted, and I do understand there's some of those in the city now that are. We would have to amend what's called the state implementation plan with the EPA to allow for an ag exemption in our program. It would cost us about $400,000, so that's why we don't do it. The differences between the programs, other than one being run as a private enterprise with AQB oversight and the other one being a state program, is our testing stations cannot do repair work, which automatically takes away one very huge conflict of interest. Whether something bad along these lines happened or not is completely aside, but it takes away a conflict of interest that inherently exists where a testing station can flunk a vehicle that comes in and not pass it and say, well, for a few hundred dollars we can fix that. I know enough, unfortunately, about how tests are run that it's possible to manipulate a test. So our particular ordinance specifically prohibits this. And our repair and retest stations, which are our regular auto mechanic stations, get plenty of referred business, so they don't complain that they don't do the initial testing. Our waiver threshold for repair costs is $300, while yours is $200. Is the DEQ okay with this change? You probably already know the answer to that. They would rather see it happen when the A-plus technologies contract is over in several years, and then would like the whole process to go out to bid. And they have asked us many times if we would be a bidder and take over both programs. I have declined because I will never be the low bidder if it means that you're going to send your program just flush. And we're already charging less in many cases than what your folks are paying. And because of the rest of the situation, we make it work. Now, those are the only questions and answers that I brought, but I know there's some that would come up real quick. And I thank you for your time tonight.
Okay, Kent. We'll have some more discussion about this and kind of work through some of the issues. Richard Roach has done a little bit of research on it, and we'll be contacting you again with...
Cool, and I'll get everybody's email address and send you the good stuff.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is public hearings. Public hearing in consideration to approve resolution number R30-2017, approving Spring Hill Subdivision Development Agreement Amendment. Richard Ropes.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. For the record, Richard Roach, as mentioned, Mayor, before Council is a request to modify the development agreement on the Spring Hill property. I have taken the opportunity to prepare a memo that explains the reason for that, specifically the roundabout releases from that, and the reason why, coupled with ACHD's request. I will stand for any questions.
Okay. Questions for Richard.
Richard, is that the only change on the development agreement?
Yes, it's the three roundabouts in that development agreement. Let me get to that just to... Two of them had the rock and water feature landscaping, and one just had a rock island.
I guess my question is, nothing is varying from the development agreement other than that, the same amount of homes, the same amount of townhouses?
At this time, the only request is the modification, yes.
Modified that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing, so we will go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of this meeting. I did have a sign-up sheet out there. Is there anyone in the audience who didn't sign up who wished to get signed up on the sheet for Spring Hill? Okay. Linda Lake, did you wish to testify? You checked both boxes, but that's okay. Tim Eck. So if you would state your name and your address, and we'll give you 3 minutes to talk about it.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Tim Eck. Address is 6152 West Half Moon Lane, Eagle, Idaho. As Richard has stated, we're here before you requesting your approval of an amendment to the development agreement. Recorded on May 8, 2007, is instrument number 10706601 against the property known as Spring Hill Subdivision. In the 10 years since Spring Hill was approved and the development agreement was recorded, codes and policies have changed. At the time of the original approval, traffic circles, commonly referred to as roundabouts, were occasionally built within subdivisions as landscape amenities, and in this case also included large rock and water features. During the time, the design requirements for roundabouts have changed significantly. During our initial review of the construction drawings for Phase 1, Ada County Highway District required the removal of two roundabouts that exist in future phases. Additionally, they no longer support the roundabout in Phase 1. They have advised that current policy would not allow roundabouts within a subdivision unless traffic patterns and volumes required the roundabout to control traffic. In this case, that is not the condition. The roundabout is strictly an aesthetic feature and would not be currently allowed in a project being submitted today, not within a subdivision. On your arterials and mid-mile collectors and stuff, yeah, they're a high-speed, high-volume intersection. They're designed to move a lot of vehicles through at a faster rate, and that's not what you want to promote inside of a subdivision. There has recently been a fatality in a subdivision where a child playing in a roundabout water feature, running out of the feature, got hit by a vehicle and resulted in his death. As a result of the request of ACHD and our willingness to cooperate with their request, we wish to delete the roundabout in Phase 1 and replace it with a cross intersection. And you've got a document in your package that, you know, reflects the landscaping that will be in Phase 1. And you can see where the roundabout is now a cross intersection. And we left all the land that would have been encompassed by the roundabout within the landscape features that would be around it. So now we'll have, you know, a pretty extensive amount of landscaping around that intersection instead of having something in the center of it. So that's the what we're requesting. And I'll stand for any questions if you have any.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Eck? Thank you. Then I have one that wished to, Les Oliver, did you wish to testify?
Yes.
Okay. Come on up if you would. And then just state your name and address for the record, please. If you would, just come on up to the mic and...
His testimony is for the other subdivision.
Oh, did you want to be on the... You signed up for the other wrong one? Oh, that's okay. Okay. I'll try and remember to get you on there. I'll have you change that when we get over here. So I didn't have anyone else who signed up to testify. Is there anybody that we missed or didn't get a chance to? Okay. Tim, did you want to rebut your own statement? Okay. With that, if we have a motion to close the public hearing.
Mayor, I move we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to close the public hearing in the matter of resolution number R30-2017. Is there anyone else who needs to comment on that? Otherwise, it's a council discussion at this point. Okay. Council?
No discussion?
I had a question for Mr. Rhodes. Does the design approval take precedence over current city codes? And what I'm inquiring about is there some improvements in here that are not required by a code that go above and beyond? If those are decided to be changed down to city code, specifically there's some fencing in here that specifically states some 3-foot berm with a 5-foot fence, which I believe is above our required code. If that is chosen to go back to the current code, is that now require a amendment to the development agreement, or does the development agreement take precedence over current code?
Council Member Jones, the development agreement would take precedent over city code. It's a contract between the city and the developer as to those specific conditions within that development. So if the developer wants to make changes to that, he would have to come back before council and make that request.
And that would also include, I would assume, open spaces in lieu of park impact fees?
The park impact fee ordinance applies to this development now. So if they're going to be requesting some credits, we'll have to sit down with the developer and decide those.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further comments? Then the question is rightly before council.
Mayor, could we get a motion carry on the request to close the public hearing? We didn't take a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Motion was made and seconded to close the public hearing. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Thank you. Public hearing is now closed. Okay, now the question is before council.
No discussion.
You're right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mayor, with no further discussion, I move that we approve resolution number R30-2017, the Spring Hill Subdivision Development Agreement and Amendment.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve resolution number R30-2017, approving Spring Hill Subdivision Development Agreement Amendment. This is a resolution of the City Council of Cuna, Idaho, authorizing the mayor to execute the development agreement amendment, amending the development agreement for the property known as Spring Hill Subdivision and owned by N.E. Cuna Farm, LLC. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed by saying nay. And that motion carries. The next item on the agenda is a public hearing and consideration to approve 16-12-AN annexation, Renaissance Farm and Mason Creek Farms. Applicants Renaissance Farm LLC, Spalding and Anderson, and Mason Creek Farm LLC request approval to annex approximately 165 plus or minus acres in the city of Cuna. Applicant requests the R6 medium density residential for all properties. 139 acres of the application are located between 10 Mile and Black Cat Roads, south of Amity. Approximately 26 acres are located near the northeast section of 10 Mile and Lake Hazel Roads, east of 10 Mile and north of Lake Hazel. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Just for the record, Troy B. Hunan, Planner 3, Kuna Planning and Zoning Department. So the application that you have before you tonight, case 16-12-AN for the Renaissance Farms, Mason Creek Farms annexation application, which includes additional parcels owned by other landowners that has been outlined in your packet. That includes specifically the Spalding piece, the Anderson piece, the Colson piece, and a parcel formerly owned by the Roberts. And the Roberts piece actually is the touch for this annexation to Cuna City Limits, which is a requirement for annexation. The applicant, Tim Eck, has submitted all necessary application items for submitting his case before the council tonight. The application has met all required noticing procedures and requirements, including holding a neighborhood meeting with all of the landowners within, who live within or own property within 300 feet of the property. Staff also provided the applicant a list that included properties that exceeded the minimum requirements, which was in excess of 300 feet. It was 350 feet, actually. Tonight's meeting was also noticed with a flyer to the same people using that same list of landowners and people who requested to be on that list for tonight's meeting. The site was also properly posted with signs that followed city code, and a legal notice was printed in the Cuna Mail News appropriately. The application request tonight is for Category A annexation, which is defined by state law that a landowner may request by any given city for annexation into their city limits as long as that property touches current city limits, which this applicant has been able to obtain. In fact, any property that touches the city limits is eligible, whether it is or is actually, whether it is or not actually defined inside an impact boundary line for any city. The main requirements for that landowner is that the landowner is willing and that they have a touch. This parcel is contiguous to Cuna City Limits. The history behind this annexation request is quite a lengthy one, and it can be kind of colorful depending on which version you hear. We will sum it up tonight by stating that the applicant has been working on this application for more than 4 years. Additionally, I personally know that there are members in this audience tonight who have been working towards the same goal for more than 7 years. The applicant has finally obtained the necessary touch to the city limits, and that is the reason why we're having this meeting tonight, because it is a Category A annexation. The application for this project did come in as an R6, which is a medium density residential zone. That states that there can be up to but no more than 6 residential units per gross acre. That is our medium density residential zone, and it is one of the more popular and more common zones used throughout Cuna. personally, I've experienced that this developer rarely hits his maximum allowed density, and in fact, at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, this developer did concede to reduce that from an R6 to an R4 zone, believing that he will actually not even hit the 4 units per acre, because this is a very challenging piece of property due to the constraints with access to the arterials, Amity and 10 Mile. Also, there's the creek, Mason Creek, that runs through a very significant portion of the site. R4 is the lowest end for our medium density residential definition. The only thing lower than that is R2. This project is not quite half a mile or one half mile from CUNA's wastewater treatment plant on South 10 Mile Road, which is just south of Lake Hazel. During 2008, when the city was going through its comprehensive plan update, the city did envision that this area would be included at some point inside the city limits. And in fact, the siting of the wastewater treatment plant was well thought out, and they knew that it was placed within an area that would encompass a greater portion of that area. The city, just to sum it up, that there have been a number of years that have passed and a number of contentions for common ground on a city impact boundary line, which actually was finalized through the Ada County Commissioners in February of this year. The city now has the means to provide sewer and potable water service for this area due to the proximity of the treatment plant to this project. Additionally, staff would recommend that any legal agricultural uses and privileges that are associated with lands in this application would be allowed to practice those uses appropriately without expiration, unless forfeited through land development. Staff would ask that that condition be added to the recommended order of decision at the end of this meeting. Staff hopes that you've had a chance to review the packet, to review the correspondences, and to review the agency comments that were submitted, and the applicant's information that was submitted. And I would stand for any questions that you would have at this time.
Okay, questions for Troy.
Mayor, I have two questions for Troy. First question is, my understanding then that the intent is to request approval based on an R4 designation and not the listed R6.
That is the recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission.
But the applicant has agreed to that, if that was our recommendation,
yeah,
too.
Yes.
Question regarding Planning and Zoning's definition. What is Planning and Zoning's definition of emergency service?
Emergency services would include fire, the paramedics, police.
Okay. The reason I ask that is that under the Idaho State Code analysis on page 8 of 98, it is stated here, through discussions and comments submitted by public service providers, the project would not create demonstrable adverse impact to quality of emergency service and or delivery of said services or impose substantial additional costs to current residents. Without any submittal from those emergency services or any comments that have been submitted with this packet, I guess my question is, where are those comments so I can review them?
That's a very good question. Before this project actually really even got started, staff assembles the information that you folks have reviewed in your packets. All of that same information was given to all of the agencies that are required for submittal. That includes CUNA Fire, CUNA Police, Ada County Highway District, Idaho Power, Cable One, and so forth. There's a number of agencies, including the other emergency services. At the very end of the request for comment, it states that if you don't have any comments within 15 business days, then we will assume that there are no comments for this project from your agency.
Okay.
They have not responded.
And I guess that's the answer I was looking for, based on that since they didn't respond, and I don't know, really want to say the assumption, but that the understanding is that they are saying that no additional costs or imposing of any additional services are being considered a problem for them, I guess, in easy terms.
without assuming too much, that would be the guesstimate instead of using a different word.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, further questions for Troy? All right, thank you very much.
The applicant is here tonight and is ready to present.
And Tim, are you the applicant? Okay. Yeah, just state your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor, members of the council. My name is Kevin McCarthy, Came Engineering, 9233 West State Street in Boise. Troy did a good job of summing it up. I actually plan on going first, so I was going to go through how many lots and acres and all that we have, but how many acres in each were involved, and he took care of that. At this time, our client is elected to just apply for annexation and zoning. We have plans to submit a preliminary plat shortly after this meeting if we're able to get a favorable recommendation. As mentioned, we're requesting the R6 zone in our initial submittal. As part of the P&Z process, I just wanted to make a point of clarification that my client did offer up to do the R4 zone, but that was for the Renaissance Farm properties, which is basically the properties west of 10 Mile. So the other part would remain in the R6 zone. With that zoning, it's, again, medium density residential, which is a common zoning density in CUNA. We have a plan for a variety of lot types and sizes across the site. Another thing that was offered up as part of the in the P&Z process is that in the lots that will be near the Bitter Creek subdivision were agreed to be between an acre and 0.85 acres in size in order to provide a buffer against that larger lot subdivision, which is about an acre, like I said, 1 acre lots. So I just wanted to point those things out. Just to sum this up, we did appreciate working with Troy throughout this application, reviewed his staff report and agency comments, and we don't have any objections to the conditions listed. And with that, I'll be happy to stand for any questions.
Okay, questions? So could you clarify then, part of this then is R4 and part of this still needs to remain R6?
Because it's written in the recommended conditions of approval. It's written correctly. I just
want okay.
to point. It was being conveyed to me. We're asking for all of it to be R4, and that's not the case. It's the part west of 10 Mile. That's what's stated in the conditions of approval. I just didn't
okay.
I should be misled.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, again, this is a public hearing. So we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of this meeting. We'll start with the in favors. Linda Lake, if you would step to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. Thank you. And then we'll limit these to 3-minute comments. Hi, thank you.
My name is Linda Lake, 854 Biltmore Avenue in Meridian, Idaho. And I'm here to testify in favor of the project.
Okay.
I'd like to also say that my neighbor, I own property on the corner of Amity and Black Cat, on the southeast corner of Amity and Black Cat, a 5-acre piece. And that Mr. Herma Sparks, who owns about 55 acres around me, is here, and we sort of have permission to speak for him as well in support of this project. Mr. Mann, who's here and has another 18 acres contiguous, I believe, is in concert with support. We have about 70 acres there that we represent, and are really looking forward to the development, hopefully that it will go through. One of the reasons that I'm in support of it is that the properties that we own, or that I own, I should say, and some of the others as well, our septic systems, our well systems are old. And with the city having the sewer plant just behind us and the water available to us, would certainly be something we would look forward to as our aging systems fail. So
sure.
That's it.
Okay. Questions for Linda Lake? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Next, I have Tim Eck. Okay. Claire Bowman has signed up to testify. If you would, just state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name is Claire Bowman. I live at 4400 West Legacy Lane, immediately across the Mason Creek to the south of this property. I developed Dreamcatcher subdivision in that area. We currently have basically 2-acre estate lots there. I support the annexation. I support the four units per acre density. That was a big point we tried to make at the Planning and Zoning public hearing. The lower density fits the difficulty of developing that particular property out there, much of which will require some significant additions to it. We do note that your code has some indication of a green belt along there. I think your green belt currently shows along the south side of Mason Creek, but that really isn't possible. There are some homes much too close to that, and that's all currently privately platted. But putting a greenbelt path on the north side of this creek within the Renaissance Farm development, I think should be a mandatory requirement. The developer has already promised to put larger estate-like homes next to Bitter Creek on the north side. Our homes are equal quality, better quality on larger lots. We would also request some of the same kind of consideration on the properties that abut the creek then. So that's the extent of my comments. Thank you.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Bowman?
I have one. Can you describe where your subdivision is off of 10 Mile then?
No. The access is off of Black Cat.
Black Cat. Okay.
Yes. But the private lane known as Legacy Lane extends for all the way through past the half section line. So we have well over, it's almost a half mile of frontage on Mason Creek immediately to the south of this property.
Okay.
Our whole subdivision will be adjacent.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bowman.
Thank you very much. Gene Spaulding, if you would just state your name and address for the record, and you will have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Gene Spaulding, 3975 West Amity Road, and I think that I'm in the Renaissance. I'm one of those properties that are kind of surrounded by Renaissance, and we are in favor of the annexation, but I have a question over this debate between R4 and R6. We were understanding that it was changed to R4 at the planning and zoning, but then you just said that part of it was R6. Where do we lie? Are we in the R4 or are we in the R6?
R4.
We're in the R4?
You're in the R4.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to, is there any way we can make sure that that's going to happen? We just don't want it to be R6.
Troy? So what she's asking, is there any way to ensure that her property is in the R4 area?
As stated in the recommended conditions of approval and also with the findings of fact that were issued by planning and zoning, it's the second condition from planning and zoning commission. And it states that applicants shall receive the R4 zone as accepted by the applicant for the properties west of 10 Mile Road. also known as the Renaissance Farm property. Her property is surrounded by the Renaissance Farms lands. It is also west of 10 Mile. So if the council agrees to uphold that recommendation from planning and zoning, then that would be the guarantee that she is looking for.
Okay, thank you. And is that?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Did anyone have any questions for?
No.
Okay. And that is all I had to sign up in to testify in favor. Was there anyone else who didn't get a chance to sign up on this sheet who wished to, whether you're in favor or neutral or okay? Are you in favor of? Or?
In favor.
Okay. Can I get you to go ahead and sign in on the sheet there, please? And you can use my pen. That first one right there. We got to make you go through the whole drill. If you want to testify just yet, yeah. Perfect, thank you. Okay, yeah, so if you'll just state your name and address, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
My name is Roy Spaulding. I live at 2801 South Bluegrass Drive in Nampa. So I'm not even, the reason why I'm up here is because my parents are the ones that are in the property. And I'm also in favor of the R4 to make sure that's a piece of it. I'm also in favor of it because the annexation also allows my parents to make a split of their land, and my intention is to build a property on that land to be next to them and help them with their property. And so far the developer has been great with us. He's been helping us figure out how to kind of work things out with us, and as long as he keeps his agreements with what he's talked with us about, then I'm in favor of it as well.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Spaulding?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much. And that's all I had in favor. I don't have anyone neutral that signed up to testify, that checked to testify. So in opposition, signed up to testify, Kenneth Bricker. If you would state your name and address for the record, and you will have 3 minutes. Thanks.
My name is Ken Bricker. My wife and I live at 5020 South Country Life Lane, Meridian. We have a 10-acre parcel that the Bitter Creek subdivision on the north and east side of us. The proposed subdivision is to the south and west and borders our property. We believe that due to the rural area and the fact that Bitter Creek Sub are 1-acre lots that border our property should be at least 1 acre and or bigger, preferably bigger. We would like to be included. You've been talking about the Bitter Creek subdivision. The lots that will border there would be 1 acre or less. And we'd like to be included in that, too, because the subdivision will border my pasture on the south.
Okay, and I'm sorry, so to clarify, you want to be in?
I would just like to be included as far as what they're saying for the Bitter Creek subdivision properties that border this proposed subdivision. And they've said, Mr. Eckert said, that he would do 1 acre or thereabouts on those properties that border that subdivision. We would like to be included in that too.
I guess I'm not following what. I guess I'm not following what you want to be included on.
We just like to be have the same right there, I guess, where our property borders this proposed subdivision. That those.
Oh, that those property are 1 acre lots?
Right, yeah.
Okay, I follow you now. Sorry about that.
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Any questions for?
Mayor, I don't have a question, but But I just was curious. Is there a way that we can see a map so maybe the speakers can maybe show us where their properties are? Because I don't know where he was just talking about. So I mean, is there a way that with being how many spots are on here, I don't know which property borders or borders your property. So I'm wondering if there's a way to.
That's me right there.
Okay, so you're. Okay.
Okay, the next person I have signed up to testify is Tim Kelly. And again, if you would state your name and address for the record, and you have 3 minutes. Thanks.
Tim Kelly, 3891 West Daisy Creek Street, Meridian. Mayor, City Council, good evening. I'm somewhat speaking for the Bitter Creek Meadows subdivision. And we are adamantly opposed to the annexation plan for Renaissance and Mason Creek Farms. We do not oppose the development of this land. However, we are opposed to the specific development project as written. We believe that when land development occurs, there must be an impeccable balance between the property owners who have already developed their land and the landowner with undeveloped property. First, I'd like to talk about your city of impact. After an exhaustive search throughout your website and comprehensive plan, it was difficult to locate any planning products that present visual or written evidence that any consideration has been given to this area. The City of CUNA Area of Impact map, dated December 15th, does not address any land development issues north of Lake Hazel Road. The online interactive zoning map does provide visual representation north of Lake Hazel to Amory Road, but has a disclaimer that is for information purposes only. The City of CUNA zoning map has a planning line at Lake Hazel, and north of Lake Hazel zoned as rural urban transition, which is our current zoning of our subdivision. The zoning code or compatible code, except for the R2 zone, is not represented in the CUNA established zoning districts. So we called and asked for further clarification. I got two maps sent to me. One was the CUNA Planning Zoning Department Area of Impact Boundary, date August of 16, and the ACI Future Land Use map dated December 15th, but neither map, again, addressed any planning north of Lake Hazel. Second thing I'd like to talk about is housing. Within your comprehensive plan, it includes a section on housing goals, objectives, and policies. The proposed plan is actually the antithesis to goal number 2, encouraging logical and orderly residential development. This development is neither logical or orderly. It is a classic example of leapfrog. It is on a narrow path, way dispersed from your center of your city or the boundaries of your city. According to the housing plan, objective 2-1, ensure that development proceeds in a logical and orderly manner so that public services are provided in a cost-efficient manner. Where is the planning need expected services that comes with medium density? We have not seen any. Current planning only supports low density. We experienced the downside of this leapfrog-type development when Bitter Creek Meadows was developed because we had a solid commitment from the City of Meridian and our developer, because services that would be delivered, homes were built, and both the developer and the City of Meridian failed us. A downturn happened, and could actually happen in this instance as well, and we'd be in the same situation. Lastly, I'd like to briefly talk about is your zoning code and transition. It's important to illustrate that the area in and around Bitter Creek Meadows subdivision is rural in nature and is at the edge of both the City of Meridian's and City of CUNA's planning area. It is our understanding the division line is actually Lake Hazel Road. We have already developed and built our subdivision and are happy with the RUT zoning that our zones have. Our neighbors outside the subdivision have developed their properties in a rural or agricultural environment as well. The zoning that is proposed just doesn't fit and allows for no transition into the current zoning there. I thank you for your time. And one thing on notices were pointed, the deficiencies were pointed out during the planning and zoning process. Those same homeowners were not notified during this process. And there's multiple issues with signage, proper signage around the property that does not meet with your code. And last week, a violation was registered, but we have not heard back anything in regards to that.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Thank you very much. Next, we have Steve Glover. Again, if you would state your name and address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Thank you.
I'm Steve Glover. I live at 4050 West Legacy Lane. I just live down the street from Claire. So we're on the south side of Mason Creek, which literally Renaissance Farms is going to be directly in my backyard. It's going to kind of be in Claire's backyard, but there are at least four homes that are going to be, this is going to be a big impact to us. I am completely and totally and strongly against the annexation because from just an average citizen, it appears to be a land grab from the city of CUNA because everything that I've looked at, comprehensive plans with Meridian, comprehensive plans with the city of CUNA, it stops at Lake Hazel. I know Mr. Eck in his planning and zoning meeting, which I was not able to attend, said that this area had been approved before. From what I could find in August last year, Ada County commissioners were even against going encroaching upon Meridian boundaries or whatever. I'm not an expert on this, so you know, you guys are probably more knowledgeable than I am. But from an average citizen that is just concerned about an R6 Corey Barton subdivision going in my backyard, I'm a little bit concerned on how this is going to happen. When we purchased our home, most of my life I spent in medium density subdivisions, saving enough money, moving around to purchase the home that I did. And it's 2.5 acres. For this, and the reason we chose this is because the plans that you guys create, City of CUNA or the City of Meridian, basically says that this is going to be a low density rural estate area, R1, R2. And now that CUNA wants to go north of Lake Hazel with the Renaissance Farms and R6, it's just like, well, what is the point of you guys spending all this money on comprehensive plans or Meridian spending, you know, money on comprehensive, if you don't follow it? I mean, what as an average citizen, what are we supposed to do? We base where we're going to buy homes when we have enough money to actually buy 2.5 acres in Idaho on your plans. And now it's like, never mind that. We're going to just, you know, like Mr. Behunin said, it's just a line on the map. Well, you got to be kidding me. Seriously, it's just a line on the map? Is a constitution just a piece of paper? I mean, so we just blow it off when it's not convenient to what we want. And that's the way it appears to me. So I am totally against this. If for some reason you guys decide that, yeah, we're going to go ahead with it, then I don't think it should be any bigger than R2, because that's the way, that's what people plan on. I mean, you got 10-acre, you know, estates out there. We have 2.5 acres. It's a zoned R1, R2 based upon what Meridian had. And now Meridian basically bailed on the citizens that they said that they were going to support because of litigation with Bitter Creek. And so just a little frustrating from where we sit. And I don't want a Corey Barton subdivision in my backyard.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Is that 3 minutes? Do I have more time?
No, that was 3 minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very
questions
much.
For? Okay, thank you. Rhonda McCarville? I'm sorry I didn't say your name right, I'm sure.
It's Rhonda McCarville.
887 South Nickel Creek Avenue, Meridian.
Okay.
Just wanted to reiterate some of the things. I mean, if the city of CUNA does plan to come and take this land that has always been rural, has planned to be rural, adamantly think it should remain no more than the R2 that it is stated, and that the areas, I think, around it is all rural. It should stay there. We're far away from services. It just lends itself better to the R2 at most. And like I said, with the surrounding, all of our homes are on 1 acre, that those should meet up. And I know that was already agreed to in the previous one, but I think just wanted to reiterate that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Leslie Anderson.
Hi, Leslie Anderson, 3985 West Amity Road. My husband, Brent Anderson, we own 2 acres, pretty much smack dab in the middle of this development. We're surrounded. I put down that we were opposed. We're actually listed as one of the applicants for the annexation, and that's simply as a result of if Tim's annexation is approved, we're on board. We kind of don't want to be an island out there surrounded by a city and just be a little island, still county. There's some benefits to us as property owners, if this subdivision is completed. It brings services, as was mentioned, to an aging farm property. But along with the other people, I can't say I'm an applicant for an R6 density, because that's not what we envisioned either when we purchased that property. We knew it would, our surroundings would be developed eventually. But because of what we're surrounded with, 1 acre lots, 10 acre lots, 2 acre estate lots, the Spaldings are similar situated as being 2 acres right out in the middle of this. We figured if it ever was developed, we would get a low density out there. That was our vision when we purchased our property 2 years ago. So I guess we just put in our 2 cents that we prefer the lower density anywhere from R2 to R4. But we were quite pleased with the way the planning and zoning handled it and agreed with the homeowners that no greater than R4 for this area.
Okay. Thank you. Questions? Thank you very much. Is this so Les Oliver, is this the one you were wanting to testify on?
Yeah, Les Oliver, 4965 South Nickel Creek in Meridian. I'm just going to read a few notes that I had here, if that's okay. I hope that one of you had a relative living in our subdivision, so you, because you know how close we are to you. If so, they would know what a beautiful and secure subdivision we live in. It takes time, a lot of work, and a lot of money to get it this way. It is rather depressing to find out that the developer is trying to go all R6, six houses per acre, where we are one house per acre. At least there should be some green spaces, a transition area between them, and then at least a few rows of 2 to 3 houses per acre. Any R6 should be well past that, in my opinion. We've had a problem with the developer's partner in the past. He was sued, and I believe he's now out of business. We're starting to get legal pressure from Mr. Eck at the moment on our properties. I hope you can look at this like you live in our sub. For my family, the Bitter Creek subdivision, the future of developments on this side of Cuna. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I had a question. Les?
Les?
You live in Bitter Creek?
Yeah.
That is county?
Yes,
8 or 9 years.
Are you on a, you're not on any city services at all? You're on a, your own private septic and well?
On a what?
Your sewer and water, is that?
We have a septic system.
Okay, that's, I just want to make sure you weren't on any other.
We have our own well.
Okay, great. That's what I figured. Thank you.
That's it?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, and that's all I had signed up to testify. Is that right? Okay, I'm sorry, what?
Can I just make a quick statement?
If you sign up to testify, you may.
I have not. Can I sign up?
Yes, you can. We ran out of room on that, so if you'll just kind of follow that. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, that'll work. Very good. Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Anthony Brown. I live at 4974 South Bitter Creek Avenue in Bitter Creek Meadows.
Okay.
I don't have a... I'm sorry? All right. I don't have a lot of new testimony. I just want to follow what my neighbors and the surrounding community or the surrounding homes have I've already said. My concern, my wife's concern, we moved into our home in 2008, and through the struggles that we've had with the city of Meridian, and that we finally have some stabilization. And we knew the property would be developed, but like has already stated, that development we expected to be R1, R2 around us. So we are adamantly opposed to anything R6, really R4 as well. And would prefer to see nothing less than R2 in the development plans. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Eck, if you would state your name and address, and you know the drill.
Good evening, Mayor and council members.
And just for the record, this is the rebuttal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Tim Eck, 6152 West Half Moon Lane, Eagle, Idaho. I have a narrative here that I'll read, and then I will ad-lib a little bit to try and answer some of the questions that came up.
Okay.
There's a lot of history surrounding the property included in this annexation and zoning application. For years, CUNA's planning area extended to Amity and Meridian's Lake Hazel. This resulted in a one-mile overlap. Many of you, or some of you, have been in that 10-year battle. Both cities started planning how to provide services to this one-mile overlap. Each assuming this mile would eventually annex into and be serviced by them. At that time, the path of annexation to Meridian was over 2 miles, and to CUNA was about a quarter mile. Today, the path to Meridian is about 1.5 to 2 miles, depending on direction, and to CUNA, the applicant properties are contiguous. The path to Meridian is impossible at this time and for the extended future. There are significant landowners in the pathway to Meridian with no interest in annexation and opposed to annexing into any city. Meridian entered into an agreement with the developer where Meridian would build a lift station within this mile that would connect to the Meridian wastewater facilities, and the developer would bring domestic water from Meridian to this mile. CUNA researched and decided the best location for the CUNA North wastewater treatment plant would be at its present location, on the Mason Creek drain and within the sewer shed, approximately 1/4 mile south of this square mile, recognizing that the natural gravitational flow of this mile would bring sewer to CUNA. As the national economy changed, Meridian and the developer entered into a nullification agreement, releasing each other from any obligation to bring services to this mile, while CUNA proceeded by building a wastewater treatment plant at an approximate cost with penalties and interest of $30 million. And in 2017, sewer, water, and pressurized irrigation services will be within 150 feet of this property. So 150 feet is not a big leapfrog. It's there. It's obvious that the location of these facilities was with the intent to service this mile. Additionally, all lands south of the Rawson Canal, which includes all of the applicant properties, will gravity flow into a lift station that will pump to the Cuna Wastewater Treatment Plant. Meridian proceeded with expanding their area of city impact to include this mile and subsequently abandoned all plans to service this mile. Wanting to end the arm wrestling with Meridian, CUNA pulled the line on their comp plan map back to Lake Hazel, having already built the CUNA North Wastewater Treatment Plant a few hundred feet south of Lake Hazel, followed by extending sewer and domestic water services several hundred feet north in Lake Hazel. CUNA recognized that Idaho law provides the landowner the right to annex their property into any city that they become contiguous to, regardless of the area of city impact lines or city planning area lines or comp plan map change or comp plan maps. It's the landowner's option and right. Prior to CUNA pulling back their city planning area to Lake Hazel, the land in this application was included in the CUNA comp plan map and the CUNA comp plan map text on pages 64 and 125. It is clear that CUNA anticipated this area becoming part of CUNA in the future. At one time, the area had a land use designation of medium density residential. The pullback on the map removed the mile from the map, but it still remains in the CUNA comp plan text. It should be recognized that based on the data from Compass Traffic Area Zones and the new wastewater treatment plan, coupled with other nearby developments already underway, CUNA still identifies the land in this application as being part of CUNA's future and being developed with overwhelming typical density, medium density residential. CUNA defines medium density residential as R4 to R8. That is 4 to 8 dwellings per acre. We are not attempting to push the maximum density recognized in medium density residential. We were simply asking for R6 with a maximum number of homes per acre, six per acre, in order to offer a variety of housing types and comply with the goals and policies of CUNY's comp plan. In addition to the land we own, there are four other parcels that have recognized the importance of being in CUNA who have signed consents to annexation. One parcel we have recently purchased. The other three parcels have agreed to annexation to pursue their best interests, as annexation is the best way to allow them to access the city services, sewer, water, and pressurized irrigation that will be brought to or near their property as the applicant land is improved. We don't build six an acre. You've seen plenty of our plats. We've never hit 6 an acre. We've never been close. This will be 3.5 to 3.7 an acre. I offered to drop the density to R4 at planning and zoning, and that was overwhelmingly received by planning and zoning. I thought it was a very great gesture. We do have large lots planned against the Bitter Creek Meadows subdivision. We have an existing sewer line that we have to follow. We've got to build a road over that sewer line or replace it. Now, the gentleman mentioned that they were on septics. They're not on septics. They are on temporary microbial tanks that go through a sewer line out to a lagoon that is clear at the west boundary of our property, about a quarter to a half a mile from their property. This is all temporary. It was supposed to be offline within a few years. It's a DEQ nightmare. Part of what we'll do, the very first phase I build, I have to have a lift station. So with the first phase that we build, there will be a lift station built there that will connect to the CUNA wastewater treatment facility and take their lagoon offline. They'll be able to abandon their microbial tanks and go to a standard sewer connection facility. This was a result of years of work and negotiation when the litigation was going on, convincing the city of CUNA, and Mayor Nelson was involved at that time, the engineers, the attorneys, to allow the folks in Bitter Creek Meadows to be able to be connected to a lift station that will pump to CUNA so their sewer problems can be resolved. We have offered to connect them to city sewer or city water, but they have no interest. They could connect to the city's pressurized irrigation, but that would require annexation. The big battle was to get them the right to be able to be connected to the CUNA wastewater treatment facility without annexation. That's been agreed on by both cities. Meridian is thrilled that we're going to take care of their problem because they're in the middle of it. The city of Meridian is actually going to purchase their sewer connection fees so that they can connect to the city of CUNA. with the Andersons, they had some problems in that their, through various prior ownership, their house sits about 2 feet from one property line, and the barn that they have on the back of their property sits about 15 feet on my property. The Spaldings don't have that problem, but we're working with them. We've gone through concept plan number 17, working relentlessly with both property owners, but more extensively with the Spaldings, to try and accomplish a property boundary adjustment with their 2 acres to give them the piece that could be split, a one-time split done. They'll be annexed. They'll reserve the agricultural use rights on their property, as Troy mentioned, and we're going to take care of it all for them. We're going to get their split. We're going to fix their property to where they will have legal setbacks to all the buildings on their property. The project's likely going to be about 3.5, 3.7 units per acre. There will be a green belt along the Mason Creek. You guys have seen me oppose the pocket parks. I don't like them. They're a waste of time. It's just a place where the dogs go to the bathroom. But if I can be involved with putting green belts along canals and put bicycle paths so our kids can have a place to ride their bikes and seniors can go for a nice stroll, we do that in all of our subdivisions where it's feasible. And this is a prime case. There's a fairly sizable floodplain issue along the Mason Creek. We're in the process of having our hydrologist, environmental engineer work through all of that. We had the entire Mason Creek surveyed at 100-foot intervals. And then when he ran all of his diagnostics, it didn't close. So now he had to come back and we had to resurvey it at 50-foot intervals. That was completed last week. Once he's done, he's able to establish exactly where the floodway and floodplain will be of the Mason Creek. Then we'll know exactly where our building limits are, where we have to fill. And then we can do the final placement of the road that will parallel the Mason Creek. Now, those lots will be 105 to 110 foot deep, but behind them will be a green belt with a bike path and then more open space because there's a fairly significant easement on each side of the Mason Creek. So for the folks that are on the other side of the Mason Creek, there's a big separation, 150 feet to our back fences. So there's a big separation there. Fencing the subdivision boundary will be fenced all per CUNA code, which is 6-foot vinyl fence around the boundary. Along the canals, it'll be wrought iron open fence for view. There'll be interior pathways for bicyclists to get through the subdivision without having to go around all the long blocks. Let's see, I addressed that there will be large lots abutting Bitter Creek. And the application still says R6 because that's where the application is submitted, but we have consented or offered maximum of 4. I stand for any questions.
Okay. Tim. Tim. So one thing, when I first became mayor, one of the biggest things for me was to rebuild the relationships with other cities and entities that had been a problem with CUNA. I guess one thing that I was a stickler on was that anything that goes beyond our comprehensive or our area of city impact needs to be negotiated with the other cities. And,
yes.
And is this part of that area that was negotiated with Meridian to grant their blessing for that to? Because the last thing I want, I hear things like land grab, that's certainly not something the city of CUNA is interested in. So I just want to make sure that that is an area that has been given the blessing of.
I have had several meetings with Mayor DeWeerd. Some of the meetings, Dave Case, Ada County Commissioner, was involved in. Ada County has no stake in this. They don't care. The city of Meridian, they're not here opposing it. They would be if they were opposed to it. They have given me their blessing. The mayor is not opposed to my annexation of this property. It is directly required to fulfill their obligation to get the Bitter Creek Meadows people a sewer connection before DEQ comes out and shuts down their temporary facilities. So we're part of that resolution. We're part of fixing that problem.
Okay.
And if they're worried about another downturn, well, if I don't get past phase one, well, then we've really started nothing. But phase one will include the lift station. It has to. I have got no place to take my sewer without the lift station. So the very first phase will be including the lift station that will take the lagoon offline and take all of the Bitter Creek Meadows homeowners' wastewater and pump it to Cuba.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions from council? Okay.
We're unable to produce a preliminary plat at this time because we don't know exactly where the road next to Mason Creek is going. But I have a map, and you can see the extreme complexity of the site. This is not a simple box to try and develop in. There's a lot of complexity. We've got to deal with all these flag lots. We've got to work around the Andersons and Spaldings, and I think we've done it very, very well. We've got to work around the floodway of the Mason Creek. And until we get that floodplain fully established and know exactly where that road is, we can't plat lots in there. But that's our basic road configuration.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's very conceptual still. It's just a road layout.
Can I see that?
And it's conceptual in that until we know exactly where the Mason Creek, the lots that back to Mason Creek can be, the road that parallels Mason Creek will follow that.
We need people on the mic if they're going to speak.
And yet I didn't hear, for example, I did not hear why.
Excuse me, sir, if you're going to speak, you're going to have to come up to the mic. You'll have to come up to the microphone and state your name and address for the record.
I was not planning to have anything. My name is David Ferguson. 3430 Westlake Hazel Road, Meridian, Idaho.
Okay.
I live on Mason Creek, okay, for a long time. And as it comes down, I don't object so much to having a walking path if everything is done correctly. But it certainly wasn't on my side. But the way... I'm surprised you haven't surveyed all that, okay? My property crosses over to the north side. I haven't been asked about anything about that.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess our development will go to our property boundary and won't include his property boundary, but we will have the pathways along our property boundary along the canal.
Sir.
Do you want to keep that?
Yeah, it's just conceptual, so actually let Troy have it.
Mayor, I have a question for you regarding the sewer hookup for Bitter Creek. Is that at the City of Meridian's request, or is that at the Bitter Creek subdivision request?
Well, when the nullification agreement occurred, the developer got out of bringing the domestic water, and the City of Meridian got out of building the lift station that was going to take their waste back to Meridian. The facilities that were built are all temporary. Mm-hmm. They were not intended to stay forever. There was a pretty brutal litigation that went on between the Homeowners Association and the City of Meridian. Recognizing what I had, recognizing what role I was going to have to play in them ever getting sewer, because the lagoon is clear across my property. If you'd like, I can point it out to you on the map. If you'd like to see that?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
So Bitter Creek Meadows sits here.
Yep.
This is the lagoon.
Okay.
The sewer main follows that road. That's why that road's there.
Yeah.
Could you explain where it was pointing on the map for the record, because it didn't pick up on the mics?
So on the north side of our property, connected to the, I guess it would be the northeast corner, is the Bitter Creek Meadows subdivision. On the southwest corner of our property sits their temporary wastewater lagoon. They have these microbial tanks that do a very good job of processing the water, but then the water goes through a sewer main that runs through all of my property and goes out to this lagoon. Now, the prior developer built that sewer main intending to put a road on top of it and have homes connected to it. The lagoon is temporary. When we build our lift station, we'll be tying into that existing sewer main and connecting it to the lift station. Then the lagoon will have to be decommissioned. They have an ongoing question with the city of Meridian over who's responsible for the decommissioning. The settlement agreement requires Meridian to do a number of things for them, maintain it. I think they maintain their microbial tanks until they are connected and the lagoon is disconnected. So the question is, when do you decommission it? You can't decommission it until it's offline. So our offer was to connect to their sewer line and get them, work with CUNA to get them connected to CUNA's wastewater treatment facility, because Meridian's not going to be there for decades. And then they can take their lagoon offline, take their microbial tanks offline, they'll be connected. Meridian's paying for all of their connection fees, and they will actually participate to a very small extent in the cost of the lift station. They have 24 connections, and if I have 400, they'll pay 24, 424, and then I'll pay 400, 424.
And then the decommission of that lagoon, who is the responsible party for that cost?
Depends on who you talk to. The position that the city of Meridian is taking is that their obligation ends when the lagoon is disconnected. I have an estimate from a number of contractors of what it's going to cost to get that lagoon disconnected and decommissioned. The lagoon holds about 460,000 gallons of effluent that will have to be tankered into trucks to a wastewater treatment facility that will take it. That's probably Caldwell. They'll have to get easements. They have no access. They'll have to get easements. They'll have to build temporary haul roads to get all that out of there. I laid this out to a couple of my contractors, and they gave me numbers that came up to about $290,000 to decommission the lagoon. I have a standing offer to them that if they will just deed the lagoon back to us, we'll take care of the decommissioning. Because when I'm out there with great big scrapers and earth movers and I got all the dirt, we can do it. But to do it as a standalone project, they're going to have to import hundreds of thousands of yards of fill. It's 5 feet deep. It only stands with 0.7 feet of effluent and then possibly 1.5 feet of stormwater retention. The 460,000 gallons is based on just the 0.7 of a foot of effluent. Where we've got it could be 2 foot deep in there, and then the number for transporting the wastewater and paying someone to take it triples. But as it stands right now, we are at an impasse. Their lagoon is not built properly on their property. It's actually encroaching. About a third of the lagoon is on my property. It's another one of their developers' mishaps. The legal description for the lagoon was bad. The legal description for their easement to get to the access and maintenance of the sewer main is a bad legal. We're going to build a lift station. We're going to connect to that sewer main. Their sewer problems are going to be over. If they want to keep the lagoon, then they can decommission it. City of Meridian's not going to do it. If they don't want to decommission it, they can deed the 2 acres back to us, and we'll take care of it all for them.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions for Tim? Okay, if we're going to have a motion.
He's good.
Chairman Austin, sorry, this is Troy Buchanan, planner. We need an exhibit number associated with this map so that, because it will be in the public record.
Okay.
So staff would suggest something like F1 or F10, G1, G10. I would suggest something above F.
So we'll call it G1. Do you need a motion to that effect, or do you just want me to name it?
I don't think so.
No, Mayor, you don't need a motion for that.
All right. Okay, if we can have a motion to close the public hearing.
Mayor, I move that we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, that motion is carried. The question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, I had a question for our city engineer. With the hookup, if it is decided to be approved, the hookup of the sewer line to that lagoon, they would now, I would assume, be required for a monthly sewer fee, as any other resident of the city, but being that they're not a resident of the city, how is that imposed for their monthly fee?
They would be required to pay at least the amount that a regular city resident would pay.
And then, thank you. Richard, if they are, we can charge somebody outside of our city to do that as far as any of our codes.
Can you repeat the question?
As in anybody outside of the city city limits, we can impose a sewer fee if they are hooked up to our sewer under current codes.
That's correct.
And they would not be required to be hooked up to or have to pay for water, irrigation and all that, as a somebody in city limits would have to be paid whether or not they use the service or not?
That's correct. They would only be paying for the sewer service. The potable water would be different, and the pressurized irrigation, we could not provide that unless they were annexed into the city.
Okay, but that's stipulated in our code. We are allowed to do that. And
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion.
Mayor, if I could have the floor.
Yeah.
Wendy, looking at the minutes from the planning and zoning, what is your recollection on the R4?
During discussion, Tim offered that as a way to mitigate some of the neighbors' concerns, and the recommendation was to... approve the R4 to recommend the R4 rather than the R6.
It was a condition of acceptance at that time?
Yes, that was how the recommendation of approval came to the council.
Okay. My next question, since I've been on the receiving end of Meridian, has any of this been discussed with Meridian?
Yes.
And what was their...
The developer / applicant had numerous discussions with Meridian. As I have been to a couple meetings, as the mayor has, well, where we've discussed this. During the ACI negotiation.
Okay. So the discussion that we had during the ACI boundary line discussions were involved that because we knew that there was an area out there that Mr. Eck was looking at annexing to CUNA, and rather than complicating the area of city impact boundaries, we made sure during those discussions that we would not annex anything outside of that boundary line without the consent of Meridian. So anything that came across that line we wouldn't look at it unless we had their consent for that annexation. And that was left completely up to the developer, so that I stayed out of the conversation, so that I didn't know anything about what developments were happening, how they were happening. All I knew was that, you know, as we had had discussions on Bitter Creek before, when Mayor Nelson was here, and some of those issues there, and trying to help Meridian out to get out of that, and also to be a good neighbor, get these lines set. And so that was our discussion in those meetings, was that we had no intentions of, actually Dave Case was fairly adamant that once those boundaries are set, that we were not to go over and start asking people to annex into our area, which would be considered a land grab, which we didn't want to do. So any of those things like that had to be given the consent of the city whose area of city of impact it was in. So we wanted to make sure we weren't starting up another fight. We worked really hard to get those relationships rebuilt, and so that was the last thing I wanted to do, was get in the middle of a battle with anybody. So
I guess my question is, our impact line stops at Lake Hazel, though, with the county.
Correct.
The area between Lake Hazel and Amity is county. It's not in Meridian's impact either.
We have the one piece of property that was the city park that was
the 107
that we had annexed. Right. Yes. Beyond that, I can't tell you what all is Meridian City and West County. I think it's all county on that. Perhaps Wendy or Troy might know that.
Part of Patriot Ridge was also previously annexed to the ACI.
By CUNA.
Correct.
Prior, okay. There is not a comp plan then that encompasses this mile from Lake Hazel to Amity?
Meridian goes down to Lake Hazel.
Our comp plan does not encompass that area, is what I'm asking, Wendy.
No, our comp plan does not.
Okay.
However, Idaho code does allow for it. The comp plan map does not, let me clarify. Comp plan map does not encompass that area. However, our comp plan does mention that area in text.
I guess my question is, CUNA proper does not have an R6, R4, R1 rating for that area, per se, in our comp plan or in our impact area.
Our comprehensive plan does not show that area.
Okay.
Map, excuse me.
Okay. Tim, in reading some of the minutes from the planning and zoning, it looks like there was a lot of discussion going from an R6 to an R4. And on page 95 of 98 on my book, it says that you were agreeable to an R4 for Renaissance. And then Commissioner Gailey asked about everything else. You said something about let me read here. So to clarify, when you say Renaissance portion, does that include those other four parcels as well? The Spalding, the Anderson, the Roberts, and the fourth one, when you say would apply to those as well? And you go on to say, well, they're here. And then you replied, the other three applicants are here, and R4 is fine with them. So would that encompass the entire area then, R4? Was that your acceptance to the planning and zoning?
There were three other parcels, two are internal of the Renaissance property. One is on the edge of the Renaissance property. The one that's on the edge, we now own. It was under contract at that time, so I could speak for that property owner that R4 would be acceptable on that piece.
Okay.
I was fine with the R4, but I couldn't speak for the Andersons and the Spaldings on their R4. But they were here. We asked them both if they would be satisfied with R4 versus R6, and they both agreed. So 100% of the Renaissance portion of this application, everything west of 10 Mile, is restricted to 4 lots per acre.
Okay.
As we mentioned, we'll probably be at 3.7 or less because of the amount of open space.
So anything east of 10 Mile would be R6?
Yes, and that is one piece that is within the 107 acres that's already annexed into the city.
Okay. Getting back to a R rating, the city has no rating for that property even when you bought that 107 acres. It was agricultural. So there's nothing on the comp plan, which we don't have. There's nothing in our impact area for that either, is there? You're just asking for an R4 or R6 based on your need, not on any condition of law.
It's my understanding that there was, and perhaps Mr. Buhlman can help me elaborate this, a land use designation for this area that was then pulled back as part of your recent agreement with Ada County. And I believe we are consistent with the prior land use designation that existed. Is that correct?
Mr. Eckes is correct. There was an approved land designation for the area that we're talking about tonight, and it varied from medium and low density between the both of those uses, but his properties were all included in that medium density at one point or another. But then because of the recent ACI application by the city to the county, it was pulled back to Lake Hazel.
And what would you consider low? R2?
R2. The city does not have an R1 or an R3. It's R2, R4, R6, R8.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. Yes. And R4 is medium density. The city doesn't do R1 because the city encourages land divisions smaller than half acre because services are impacted.
And so at R4, we're at the lowest end of the medium density range.
Okay. And the more I read this, it looks like Commissioner Hennis also that same evening questioned about any of it being R6 as opposed to all of it being R4. Does any of that ring a bell to you, Tim?
Well, I didn't keep recorded minutes, but we really don't do anything much that's going to be greater than in that area, greater than a 4-unit density. The only restriction that we have to be cautious is the dimensional standards. This plat, you saw the lat, it's very complicated. So it's, you know, when you change your zoning, you also have dimensional standards. Many cities around have completely gone away with dimensional standards because if you got R4, you're going to get 4 per gross acre, and that's it. Well, you start imposing strict dimensional standards, all of a sudden you can't fit 4 lots per acre within those dimensional standards. The dimensional standards will preclude you. If you've got deep lots and you have to do a specific width, you can't get 4 on an acre. So the complexity is in the dimensional standards more so than the density, but I think everybody's concern is really the door count.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that we will not have more than 4 units per acre on the Mason Creek property, but I prefer not to be tied to dimensional standards of R4 over there.
Does Kiuna have dimensional standards?
Yeah. Yes.
You talked about 3.5, 3.8. Why would that change with an R4 then?
I don't follow your question. I mean, we were asking for an R6 primarily because of the dimensional standards, and it's right in the middle of the median density range. But we, generally speaking, don't build 6 houses per acre. We don't plat 6 lots per acre. I don't have a subdivision that we're working on that is 6 lots per acre. Generally, it's about low 3s to the high 3s per acre, actual density. But you don't have an R3.5. You have an R4. We're glad with R4 if we can get away from the dimensional standards, because when you take a subdivision like this, we're going to have, I got a lot of weird shapes going on out there. We got a lot of open space that's going to be generated by the Mason Creek, and dimensional standards are going to be problematic. We get over to other projects with great big power lines that go through them, 200-foot wide easements right through the middle of the project. We're fine with the R4, but we might have to put lots that are narrower than 66 feet to achieve our R4. So, again, I'm more than glad to commit on the Mason Creek property to not exceed 4 units per acre when, if you want to put that as part of the condition, that we wouldn't exceed more than 4 units per acre, but I need the R6 dimensional standards to apply. So if I need to put in a lot that's narrower than 66 feet, it's not a problem. Just because of the open space that we're putting in these, to get our R4, we need to be able to put in lots that are occasionally smaller in certain dimensions than the dimensional standards.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Okay, further discussion.
Mayor, if I may. Troy, I had a question for you regarding looks like there was some discussion regarding the school district boundaries during the Planning and Zoning Commission. Would this, all these properties fall within Kiuna School District or West Ada?
It's actually roughly about a 45-55%. The school boundaries, which the city does not involve itself in their creation, were created long ago. And it literally goes down almost half, from north to south, it runs almost halfway between the Renaissance properties.
Are you aware of any discussion as changing one to the other so they're all the same? I know that previously we had a subdivision that had a similar concern with the subdivision being split, that there was some considerable discussion and negotiation taking place.
I do know that the Kiuna School District did contact and talk to West Ada. I don't know the length or the depth of the conversation, but they did discuss it, and the takeaway message was this is a discussion that it couldn't be solved in one meeting.
Thank you. Gordon, if the Bitter Creek subdivision cannot hook up to the Kiuna wastewater plant, and the lagoon becomes a DEQ problem, would you, in your opinion, consider that to be a substantially more cost to resolve that issue than the offering of Mr. Eck as far as resolving that issue for them? And I can elaborate more if you'd like.
Councilman Jones, you can always redirect me as I go along here. If I understood your question, is it more costly to resolve it by fixing the lagoon issues or connecting to the city sewer? Is that the basic question?
Well, I guess it seems to me that there has been some discussion on this, and Mr. Eck has come up with a solution for them that I was curious if that is relieving them of a substantial financial situation in the future if they are not hooked up to it and their lagoon fails. What is the, I mean, if it's costing them, if I recall right, not a lot of money to do it now, where if they're not allowed hooked up and that fails, they have to come in and figure out how to do it, and if we allow them to hook up, they have to pay for a lift station. And, I mean, are we talking, you know, $1 million to fix that problem? I mean, I don't want to hold you to it, but I'm just kind of curious of what type of a solution that Mr. Eck is providing, that is it substantially saving the money from a long-term financial obligation. If
Councilman Jones, I don't know of, at this point, of any reason why the lagoon itself could not continue to work, but it does have some problems. Being on property that it shouldn't be on, to fix that is either to move it over to property that it should be on, or somehow to work out the boundary dispute between the two property owners, is not an engineering solution. That's a people solution somehow. But if you had to move the lagoon, that's a big deal.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's $1 million.
Yeah.
But it would be substantial.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions?
Mayor, I have a couple of things to ask in response to Council Member Cardoza's questions. Hopefully clarified. Council Member Cardoza, you were asking about the comprehensive plans that may or may not apply in this area. Staff provided information that there was a map drawn as we were working through expanding our area of impact up to Amity. Our comprehensive plan in the text references development in this area. I would also note that the City of Meridian's comprehensive plan does apply to this area. A significant portion, all but a triangle of that, is zoned according to Meridian as R3, three units per acre. I would also note that Idaho Code 676511B provides guidance for the comprehensive plan, and the zoning designation, which you're being asked today to zone almost all of that as R4, suggests that it be in accordance with, but not match it perfectly, meaning it does not have to be in strict conformity, so you can go to the R4 as requested. You just need to make a factual inquiry, things that you would consider, the location, 10 mile, the sewer issue that was discussed. It's in a nitrate area, priority area. It takes those that system offline and puts it into the sewer. So those are things that you should discuss along those lines. I will stand for questions.
Meridian had it as an R3 on their comp plan in that area?
That's what they have up there, yes.
But it does not compel us to mandate R3 for that area?
That is correct.
Okay.
Richard, one question, quick question for you. You're not aware of any written documentation from the City of Meridian approving any of these discussions that they've been included in? Or reference to, I should say.
Yeah, but I don't have any reason to doubt that the representations made are an accurate representation. As we went through this boundary readjustment, I knew those discussions were going on, and nothing ever came back as, wait a minute, we're drawing the line here. In fact, I think all the parties knew that there were these discussions going on how are we going to take care of this Bitter Creek area with services going to the City of Kuna. It's important to note, as part of that, that also fulfills our obligation to keep bank with the LID and the utilization of those. As you'll recall, those EDUs for the purpose could be used outside of city limits, and we made that agreement. So
all parties knew what was going on. The city did not sit down in those negotiations, and we did not request that they draft up an affidavit or a letter as to those things, but those representations were made, and I don't doubt that the veracity of those representations.
But all that discussion took place before the finalization of that area of impact lane.
Meaning?
As in, was the, I mean, I'm assuming, or I'm under the impression that the most of the conversation was regarding Bitter Creek and not the current requested properties for annexation, being that the discussion with City of Meridian was all done before those were even mentioned.
So I believe that all these properties, the Renaissance properties and all those properties, the connecting properties out there, was all part of that discussion. It was just not solving Bitter Creek. It wouldn't have made sense for Mr. Reck to say, I'll run these lines up here only to deal with Bitter Creek, yeah, without his development. So I'm confident that that included that entire package of property that he's bringing in.
Okay, which would make sense. I mean, I agree with your answer on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Further comment?
Mayor, I have one more for Tim, if I could. Would you be receptive to a R4 on the 139 acres and an R6 with the 26 acres of the 107 acres east of 10 Mile?
Yes, that's what we modified our application for. I mean, there was obviously, as I said, you've seen our plats. They're generally always less than 4 an acre. The R4 is only problematic with dimensional standards. But if you're looking for door counts, 4 an acre is, we will not exceed 4 an acre. We won't hit 4 an acre. I don't know if we'll be at 3.7 or 3.5 on the Renaissance properties, but we will be less than 4 per acre. On the Mason Creek property, we will also be less than 4 per acre. But again, I'd rather not, and what you're saying is R6 over there, which is fine. We're going to be less than 4 an acre, but the R6 dimensional standards are more favorable.
Okay.
See, I think in R4, the minimum lot width is 66 feet. And if I got a strip of land that's 300 feet wide and I put a road down the middle of it, I got 130-foot deep lots. And at 66 feet wide, 4 of them are more than an acre. So I can't even get to the R4 with the dimensional standards. But I'm glad to commit to the 4 lots per acre as the maximum with the R6 dimensional standards so that I can deviate, so I can do a 60-foot wide lot if I need to.
Okay. Do you think by maintaining an R4 west of 10 Mile, you will sell the houses more rapidly due to the nature of that neighborhood? You've got 1-acre parcels on some of it. Wouldn't it make sense that an R4 would be more receptive to sales in that given area?
Well, and we've already acquiesced to 4 units per acre on the west side of Penn.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah. No,
okay.
We actually, that wasn't requested. We offered that at PNZ to drop it to R4. Because I know we won't go over R4. The only thing that hurts us with R4, like I said, is the dimensional standards.
Okay.
So everything west of 10 Mile will be 4 units per acre. East of 10 Mile, we're wanting to hold the R6 there just because of dimensional standards, but if you wanted to lock it into R6 with a maximum of 4 units per gross acre, I'm fine with that. That property we've already got laid out. That goes before PNZ in a few weeks. And it's about 3.7 per acre. But we're asking for R6 because of the dimensional standards.
Just east of 10 Mile, though. You've already accepted R4 west of 10 Mile.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
You bet. Anything further? And the question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, if I may, I appreciate everybody's time tonight. You all coming out here, I know you took time out of your own schedules to be here. I don't know if any of you are aware, this information is given to us, just last Friday. So I've only had 3 to 4 days to review this. I hope you can respect what I'd like to do is ask for council's approval to table this till the next meeting so I can spend more time researching this and reviewing all this, reviewing your comments from tonight so that I can make a good decision based on all that. So hopefully I would hope that you'd all would respect that request in the if the council is favorable to that, and unless they want further discussion, I move that we table this annexation request of 1612-AN to the next council meeting for a decision. So I have more time to review this.
Tim, would this be a problem with you, table it for 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, it is, you know, a bit problematic. I'm not going to be in the country at the next city council meeting, and I find that, you know, my input, my knowledge of the property that I've been involved with for years is pretty significant at the meetings, and I certainly don't want to just keep pushing it down the road. We had a noticing issue the very first time this is going to PNZ, and it's, that caused a 2 week delay.
It was more like a 3.5-4 week delay.
And you know, our construction season is we got a lot of work to get done. We do want to start phase one next year in 2018. They've just got a lot of engineering work to do it. If you're concerned about the position of the city of Meridian, you know, I'm sure we can get something in writing. The last meeting I had with them was probably about 2 months ago, and that was with there was Mayor DeWeer was there, city attorney was there, I think there were a couple of council members there. Still adamantly in favor of our annexation. The question was about adding the Anderson and the Spalding pieces as just internal pieces that would just be small unannexed pieces, and they supported the annexation of those properties. So that was the primary purpose of that updated meeting to their situation. But we'd certainly much rather walk out of here with an approval tonight, but I understand the package is extensive.
I appreciate that. I hope you understand from my side. I mean, this is a big decision. I mean, it's obviously a big decision for you. I'm sorry if there was any delays created previously. Unfortunately, that's out of my control. And I respect your request, but I will just at this point, I need more time to review it. So. I'll leave my motion standing.
Thank you, Tim. What are some of the issues, Pat, that...
Well, I'd like to review everything that was said tonight. I mean, there's a lot of information that was taken in tonight. I'd like to review the concerns, and unacceptable request. There's a lot of information that was given to me, and you know, I just want to make sure I make the right decision, and don't want to. I mean, obviously my motion hasn't been seconded, so I mean, if the other council members would like to make a motion, I can't prevent that. But I mean, there's just a lot of information that I would prefer to review again. and sit back and process before I make a decision.
I thought most of the testimony was related to an R4 more than anything else. And I think Mr. Rick is acceptable to an R4 west and an R6 east, but it would still mandate about a 3.5 to a 3.7 construction on that 29 acres. It seems like it's acceptable, I thought, to the public that was here. Greg?
I'm good with Pat if he wants to table it till the next meeting. Based on all the testimony we heard and our ordinances and our time and effort by P&Z and everything else, I could make a vote either way. So,
I would think the only concern I would have is to make sure that Meridian is acceptable to this from prior problems with them and was going over Lake Hazel. I would second the motion to table it then.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to...
Mayor, I'm sorry. We should have a date certain.
Yeah.
And
so that would be...
Sorry, I don't know if it's possible to expedite that if Mr. Rack would be in town. If council may consider a special meeting maybe this week or so. I'm not sure how much time Mr. Jones would like.
Well, the next meeting would be the 18th, if I'm correct. If you want to do a special meeting, I want 7 days. So that would put it at the 11th.
And we have P&Z meeting that night, so it would have to be the 10th or the 12th.
It'll be the 12th.
The clerk's office has a conflict on the 12th.
And I stand with the 18th.
And so the 18th applicant, so the applicant won't be here the 18th.
When do you get back then, Mr. Ray?
We're not due back until the 24th, but it's pretty good. I just have to make a round trip flight from another country to be here.
Well, if the other council members wants to vote tonight, I'll withdraw my motion and somebody can make a motion.
I'll withdraw my second if Pat wants to withdraw his motion.
Okay. Do we then have a motion otherwise?
I make a motion that we approve 16-12-AN annexation, changing it from an R6 to an R4 west of 10 mile, R6 east of 10 mile, with all other conditions that planning and zoning had proposed.
Councilmember Cardoza, can you make that based upon the testimony today, the presentation, and the staff file, so we have that in the record too, please?
Based on what now? Testimony.
Yeah, your decision.
Public testimony.
Public testimony.
Okay.
A staff file, a review, and the city codes.
As part of the approval, it would be public testimony.
Based upon testimony, staff file.
Fact file, and.
And what else did you want, Richard?
The public record, and the testimony, the staff report, and city code.
That's not what you said the first time. Okay, based upon public testimony, public record, staff report, and
city code.
City code. Is that your motion?
If I can read back the motion, please. So Council President Cardoza has moved to approve 16-12-AN annexation based on public testimony, public records, staff report, and city code with the changes of R4 from R6 to R4.
On the west side of 10 Mile.
Changes from R6 to R4 west of 10 Mile.
And acceptance by Meridian.
Thank you, sir.
Are we good there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a second. Okay, motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
No.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
That motion carries. 16-12-AN has been approved. Thank you, everyone.
To continue their meeting. So if you'd like to get a hold of us tomorrow, we'd be more than happy to help you.
I'll pass that along. All right, thank you.
Okay, so moving on, we're on to business items. Next is Fair Housing Month proclamation. This is a proclamation for the City of Cuna on Fair Housing. Yeah, that was fun.
We're still on the record
in a public meeting, so okay. All right. Thank you very much. Whereas April 2017 marks the 49th anniversary of the passage of Title VIII of the Civil Rights Act, 1968, commonly known as the Federal Fair Housing Act. And whereas the Idaho Human Rights Commission Act has prohibited discrimination in housing since 1969, and whereas equal opportunity for all, regardless of race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, national origin, is a fundamental goal of our nation, state, and city, and whereas equal access to housing is an important component of this goal and as fundamental as the right to an equal education and employment, and whereas housing is a critical component of family and community health and stability,
And whereas housing choice impacts our children's access to education, our ability to seek and retain employment options, the cultural benefits we enjoy, the extent of our exposure to crime and drugs, and the quality of health care we receive in emergencies. And whereas the laws of this nation and our state seek to ensure such equality of choice for all transactions involving housing, whereas ongoing education, outreach, and monitoring are key to raising awareness of fair housing principles, practices, rights, and responsibilities, and whereas only through continued cooperation, commitment, and support of all Idahoans can barriers to fair housing be removed, now therefore be it resolved that I, Joel Steer, Mayor of the City of Cuna, Idaho, hereby proclaim April 2017 to be Fair Housing Month in the City of Cuna, Ada County, State of Idaho. So be it proclaimed. Consideration to approve award of bid for Ardell Pond and Pump Station Project. Gordon Law.
Mr. Mayor and members of council, on last Friday, the city engineer's office opened bids on the pump station, irrigation pump station, to be located near the intersection of Ardell and Linder. We received six bids. There were two bids that were low bids and fairly clustered at the low end of the price proposal, and are recommending that the apparent low bidder, which would be Erminger Construction, be awarded the bid as the apparent low bidder for this project. You will note that, as I do every time, there was an analysis of the available funds for this project, requesting that $126,000 split between the water fund and the sewer fund be allocated out of the contingency account of each fund to support this project. Part of the basis for that request is that this particular location and particular pump station is very key to supplying the irrigation system with the water that's needed, primarily because of where it is located.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Questions for Gordon?
No discussion. I make a motion of approval of the award for Ardell Pond and Pump Station Project.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve award a bid for Ardell Pond and Pump Station Project. Any further discussion?
Mayor, before we bid, is there documents?
Councilmember Jones, those documents were not available at the time of the packet, but they were sent to your iPad in a secondary email from the clerk's office.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Did we have a second?
Yes.
Yes, we did. So no further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinances. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-02A, Troost Family Trust Annexation. An ordinance annexing certain real property, to wit, parcel number S131443892, situated in the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the city of Cuna, into the city of Cuna, Idaho, establishing the zoning classification of said real property, directing that copies of this ordinance be filed as provided by law, and providing an effective date.
Mayor?
Yes.
On page 2 of 4, section 4 shows it as an R12, and then further on down, I think we're voting on an R2, I thought, in the, I'm sorry, it's a different parcel. Okay. Maybe it is. Okay. I think I was looking at a different one. We're looking at an R12 there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was R2, but I'm looking at a different one. Okay.
I'm good.
Discussion?
No discussion. I make a motion to approve ordinance 2017-028, Troost Family Trust Annexation.
Second. And would you care to consider waiving the three readings?
Waive the three readings.
Motion's made, and is it still seconded?
Yes.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2017-02A, Troost Family Trust. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. And would you like to approve ordinance number 2017-02A?
Yes.
I'll take roll call. Council President Cardozo?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Okay. And then would you care to approve a summary publication of ordinance number 2017-02A?
Yes.
I'll second that.
Motion's made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance number 2017-02A will become law upon publication. Consideration to approve ordinance number 2017-05, Robinson Annexation. An ordinance annexing certain real property to wit parcel number S131233-6075, situated in the unincorporated area of Ada County and contiguous to the city corporate limits of the city of Cuna into the city of Cuna, Idaho, establishing the zoning classification of said real property, directing that copies of this ordinance be filed as provided by law and providing an effective date.
No discussion. I may make a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-05, the Robinson Annexation.
Second.
Would you care to waive the three readings?
Yes, three yes. readings.
Motion is made and seconded to waive the three readings of ordinance number 2017-05. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
Consideration to approve ordinance.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2017-05. Chris, would you poll the council?
Council President Cardozo?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Consideration to approve summary publication of ordinance.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve summary publication of ordinance number 2017-05. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Ordinance number 2017-05 will become law upon publication. That's all we have on the agenda. You may have noticed coming into the parking lot that last night the dumpster out here has a pretty pink tag on it now. With the help of Bob Bachman looking through our surveillance video, they were able to find a pickup and get a pretty good description of that to the
Kuna Police Department, and hopefully they will be able to solve that case fairly quickly. So the pickup pulled into the parking lot and sat there for a little over a half hour, was it, something like that, and wandered off, and I'm assuming it's the ones that made their way down the Greenbelt a couple of spots and did some other things. And so hopefully our surveillance video will help to catch those culprits.
We want it done by 9 o'clock tomorrow, Chief.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give you a half an hour after you get there, get your desk set up and everything.
We're not going to rush you. You can have your donut and coffee.
And then, I'd like to compliment counsel on that, the handling of that uncomfortable public hearing there. That was a lot to take in, and you did a good job. So that's all I have tonight.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Antonio
Conti is our new engineer. I introduced them before the meeting to say hello, and he's
here, you can
leave now.
That's a deal.
So is there anything you want to say while you're here? And I would assume we'll get him an email address and that set up fairly quickly.
Already done.
Already done?
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided if you're going to share it or not? Or keep that to yourself for a while. Okay. Well, thank you very much. We're very excited to have you here and looking forward to getting started.
That's Richard's thing.
Okay, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.